The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thanks for listening to the Too Many Men podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the third episode of the Too Many Men podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Vez, alongside Joshua Safe, as always. And we have quite a few topics to cover today, as promised off of the back of last week. And the trade deadline, we're going to be covering some of the biggest trades. But I've got to say, a rather underwhelming afternoon on deadline day.
It was quiet. Yeah, it was quiet. And considering all the names that were on that list, the star power of the names that were on that list, we were expecting a big deadline, one of the bigger deadlines in recent memory, and it just was a bit disappointing.
And in hindsight, don't want to out our credibility, but for all five mock trades that we ended up proposing in episode one, not one of those players ended up being moved. In our defense, all five of the teams that we had them going to were very active at the deadline, but guys like Dougie Hamilton or Blake Coleman, Shane Wright, none of those guys ended up switching teams. And as we said, come pretty much 2:30 when the deadline was at 3, you're starting to look around thinking, okay, this, like last year's deadline in 2025, the final hour was when everything went down. And even after the deadline, especially the Marchand trade rolled in, and it was very surprising. But this year, it'd be an hour left, half an hour left, 15 minutes, 10, 5, and there's nothing going on.
There were
some trades here and there, but none of them were the marquee names you were looking for. And then ultimately, as the deadline passed, this was the weirdest thing, and I'll get to it in a minute with the Kadri trade, is once the deadline passed, you knew there was still time for trades to come in, but there was this really weird silence. You weren't hearing on social media or on the broadcast that anything was in the works. You didn't hear, okay, it's 3:15 p.m., Colorado has something in the works, we're going to try and figure out what it is. You heard nothing until 4:05 p.m., and all of a sudden, boom, Nazem Kadri is a Colorado Avalanche again. It's like, well, where did that come from, and how did it take an hour and 5 minutes after the deadline closed to even hear any rumblings about it, when for that full hour, I was tracking to see if he was going to Montreal or any of these other places, Minnesota, Detroit, and you were hearing, well, there were these teams that pitched a package, they thought it was too high a price, and that was it. And then you'd hear, well, maybe Calgary's going to try and move Zach Whitecloud or something like that. But you didn't hear anything that said Kadri was actually going to leave. And then all of a sudden, people start asking, well, is he staying? And you didn't get confirmation of that either. And all of a sudden, there's our biggest trade of the day.
No, exactly. Like, I thought we were done because of the big silence that was going on. And you would hear these things like, oh, this player gets traded, we're just waiting on the returns. We're like, okay, at least we know that a trade's happened. But as you said with the Nazem Kadri trade, like, it just came out of the blue. There was no rumors surrounding him going back to Colorado really at the time, going on social media, and then bam, it's there. So yeah, it was a bit of a strange deadline for sure. But we still have a few trades to talk about.
Absolutely.
So I guess I'll just get a roll in here with our first trade. Nick Waugh goes from the Toronto Maple Leafs to the Colorado Avalanche in return for a 2027 first-round pick and a 2026 fifth-round pick. So first of all, that first-round pick is top 10 protected. And I just like to say, as a Leafs fan, I'm quite happy with this trade. And that's probably going to be the only time I say this.
I can see why. At first, for Waugh was surprising when I saw it.
Yeah, I think everybody that I talked to was like, really? Nick Waugh for a first? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to complain, right? But it just wasn't working out in Toronto for Nick Waugh. He never seemed to get his footing here. And I think this is just a great pickup for Colorado, especially we know what Nick Waugh is capable of. And he wasn't exactly playing at that level with Toronto, but if he can get back to that with Colorado, I think this is a great pickup for Colorado, especially because they're one of the best teams. Well, right now they are the best team in the league. So that first round pick, like, it's not going to end up being a top 10 pick. It's not going to be anything crazy for the Leafs. It's probably going to, like, it's next year, and it's probably still going to be a late first round. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. And the Avalanche now have one of the craziest center depths I've ever seen. So just for you viewers who might not know, their four centers right now are Nathan MacKinnon, who one of the best players in the league, Brock Nelson coming off a gold medal, and then Nazem Kadri, who we'll get to later, but he was acquired from Calgary at the deadline, and then Nick Waugh at your fourth spot. And just for those who don't remember, Nick Waugh was traded for Mitch Marner. And yes, there was a little more behind that trade, but that's the kind of player you're getting, someone who is considered to be in a trade for Mitch Marner. And will he play at the center spot? We don't know. He'll probably end up moving up to the third line because Nick Waugh, for me, is just not a fourth line caliber player. He can be a lot better than that. But yeah, it's just a great pick up from Colorado, and I think a pretty decent return if you're Toronto.
Fair enough. And I think that was the Leafs and Brad Treliving's best business of the day. But I can't imagine that there were some other deals at the deadline that you'll be less happy with. And given the trajectory of the Leafs right now, we've had to implement a system here. So every time you hear this sound, that means you've complained about the Toronto Maple Leafs and we have to get back on topic. We're going to see how many times you do that throughout the course of this podcast episode.
Yeah, we might be hearing that noise quite a bit during this episode and probably throughout the rest of the season. But
we will touch on the Nazem Kadri trade now. So the Calgary Flames got Victor Olofsson, Maximilian Curran, a 2027 conditional second and a 2028 conditional first, and going to Colorado, a 2027 fourth, and of course, Nazem Kadri, who had 29 points in 61 games with Calgary this year, and he has 2 points in 5 games with the Avalanche since. One goal was in a 5-1 win over Seattle, and then he assisted Nathan MacKinnon in a shootout win over the Minnesota Wild in division. But really, with Nazem Kadri, the trade kind of became a matter of not if, but when. You felt like he was one of the players that was going to move. You heard reports that he was actually going to be very disappointed if he ended up having to stay in Calgary past the deadline. But there were lots of teams inquiring and obviously high prices flying around. Ultimately, the Flames did have to retain 20% of his remaining deal, which I think is less than I would have thought the Flames would have had to retain on a Kadri deal. So that ends up cutting his cap hit by $1.4 million on his $7 million AAV for the rest of his deal in Colorado. But look, it's a great fit. It's a familiar team. I don't think he could have found a better fit than Colorado, to be perfectly honest. I think some of the other teams that were in there, like Montreal, was pushing to the end. I was hearing names like Arber Jacki that Calgary were really interested in, or an Owen Beck, Caden Gooley, and Patrick Laine, which would have been the cap dump in the other direction. But I don't think Kadri really would fit as well in Montreal as some people think he would. I think their structure, especially at center this season, has been pretty solid. Nick Suzuki on the first line, you can't separate Kapanen from Demidov on the second line. And then going down the roster, you still have guys like Doc and Newhook and Deneau, all players that can slot in at center. So I think the fit in Colorado was optimal for Nazem Kadri. Like we said, the trade didn't break until 4:05 p.m. I think I initially saw it on X from either David Pagnotta or Darren Dreger, but I can't say exactly who broke the trade first because it came so long after the deadline. But look, it's a great playoff ad. Like you mentioned, they added Nick Waugh. They also added Nick Blankenberg and Valtteri Puustinen. And the Avs are on a 2-game skid at the time of recording, but they are 3 points clear of the Dallas Stars with a game in hand and 7 points clear of the Minnesota Wild with 3 games in hand. So as we've mentioned a number of times on the podcast so far this season, there's nothing to worry about in Colorado. And this was overall just a great trade for the team.
And I mean, you mentioned before a familiar team. He loves to play in Colorado. When he got traded there, he actually reached out on social media and he's like, "I'm so excited to be coming back to Colorado. This is a place that he loves to play." And it shows. He had his career year here, 87 points in 71 games, including 28 goals. That was in the 2021-22 season. And it was a bit of a surprise breakout season. He was always a pretty average player with the Leafs and with the Flames. And even with the Flames, his production started to dip a bit. So hopefully, with the return to Colorado, comes the return of this breakout season when he was over a point per game.
And then to touch more in depth on another trade, there was Logan Stanley and Luke Shen to the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for a second round pick, fourth round pick, Isaac Rosen and Jacob Bryson. This was a rebound trade, you could say, from the failed Colton Pareko deal after he declined to waive his no trade clause for Radim Mertka and a first round pick. But Shen, this season, 7 points in 46 games before the trade, 0 points in two games since, and he was a healthy scratch in Las Vegas last night. It's a depth pickup. It's size, it's physicality. You can't expect anything surreal from Luke Shen. And Logan Stanley, much better on the stat sheet this season, 21 points in 59 games, but 0 points in three games since the trade. And both of them have 9 penalty minutes since. You can see the kind of grit and strength that they're supposed to bring to help boost the Sabres' identity in this Atlantic Division playoff run, which we have a lot to talk about later. But it's a playoff hunter's move. As I said, defensive depth, size, a physical boost. Honestly, these two could work as a third defensive pairing down the line, so it could end up being a very smooth trade to replace one of your defensive lines and strengthen the back end. But again, I don't think it's anything stellar. It's not going to be written in lights in downtown Buffalo, but it is a good trade for a team that needs to compete in a physical division and is trying to make the playoffs for the first time in forever.
Exactly. It's a young, very, very inexperienced team when it comes to the playoffs. None of these players have made it in Buffalo yet. So obviously you needed something to get that experience and just to give a little more confidence in the locker room when it comes to heading into the playoffs. But our next trade that we're going to go in depth on is Scott Laughton going from the Toronto Maple Leafs to the LA Kings, and the return being a 2026 conditional third round pick. So I said, like I mentioned before, the Nick Waugh trade, good job, Brad. That was a good one. This one, I wanted to rip my eyeballs out when I saw it. I know it, complaining, but like, there's no way I'm not going to complain about this trade when you think about what they had to give up to originally bring him in from Philadelphia. So the Leafs originally brought him in for a 2027 first round pick. And not only that, but Leafs legend Nikita Gribenkin, that back check, forecheck, paycheck. What a guy. We miss him. We love you, Nikita. But we're also going to miss that first round pick. Like, especially with the way we're seeing the Leafs go this season, we're in a downhill trajectory and we're going to need to build up for the future. And here we are getting rid of a first round pick for Scott Laughton and then flipping that for a third round pick. Math just ain't math in there for Brad. Obviously, that's pretty much all you could have gotten because he just wasn't performing well in Toronto at all. But if you look at the market that you got for Nick Waugh and how he got a first, you're hoping for something similar for a guy like Scott Laughton because they were putting up pretty similar production in terms of numbers. Now, that conditional third-round pick turns into a second-round pick if LA makes the playoffs. So right now, I believe they're 1 point out of a playoff spot, so it could be upgraded to a second, which makes it a little better, I guess, but still not amazing, in my opinion. Now, Laughton, again, just didn't work out in Toronto. He had 16 points in 63 games, and this is a great pickup for LA, especially if you're looking to add someone to push you into the playoffs, because this is a guy who's cracked 40 points before, so similar to Nazem Kadri, if he can return to the form that we know he can play at, this is an amazing pickup for the LA Kings, especially considering the price that you paid. But at the same time, it is a bit of a confusing trade for LA. Like, I can see the vision here, but at the same time, if you look at some of the other trades that they're making, it doesn't completely make sense for me. They brought in a guy like Panarin, and now they've brought in Laughton, so I can see that they're trying to make this kind of push for the playoffs, but at the same time, you got rid of Corey Perry, who brings that championship experience, and also, I mean, recently, he's been to the Stanley Cup Finals a butt ton of times, so that's just experience that you're trading away, so I can see you're bringing in pieces that are helpful for a playoff run, but you're also removing them, so it's a bit of a mix-up in LA. I feel like they just don't really know the direction they're going in themselves, and they're just trying to figure it out as they go. But I think overall, not a terrible pickup for LA, and we'll just see if it works out in the playoffs for them.
So now we're going to quick fire the rest of the notable deadline day moves. So I'll start with five and then I'll turn it back over to you, Josh. The first one, as you touched on, Corey Perry back to Tampa Bay from LA for 2028 second. I was surprised by the move. There were reports that Perry wanted to extend or stay in LA long term for however long his career is going to last from here on out. It makes sense. It's the best positioned former team of his to make a playoff push. 3 points in six games since, 2 goals, 1 fight. That's Corey Perry for you. So decent fit in Tampa. Fogle to the Ottawa Senators with a third round pick, a conditional third round pick swap, actually, as well as Buffalo's 2026 second round pick going to LA. It's a buyer's move. He's a physical winger, a depth forward. 3 points in 5 games since the trade. He's had a pretty down year in LA before, 9 points, 47 games, but sometimes a trade can rejuvenate you. Foligno to Minnesota, that being Nick Foligno to join his brother Marcus. It was a fun deadline day story hearing about how he broke the news to his family. Since the trade, he's got 1 point in 6 games. He's been slotting in at third line right wing. His seasons in Toronto and Boston saw decreased production. He had a spike in his first 2 seasons in Chicago, but it did end up coming down at the start of this season. It's purely a playoff move, and I think Foligno will enjoy his time in Minnesota, and Minnesota can enjoy his time there. And last for me, Mackenzie Weegar to the Utah Mammoth, Olli Maatta, Jonathan Castagna, and 3 2026 second-round picks to Calgary, straight up for Mackenzie Weegar. 1 point in 6 games since the trade. This was a huge trade for the Utah Mammoth, and it worked well with the selling state of the Calgary Flames. 21 points in 60 games for the Flames this season, which is a slight decrease in his production from previous years, but this will help the Mammoth's playoff push in a weakened Western Conference. And he's looking to start a first-line pairing with Mikhail Sergachev, who has 44 points in 64 games this year. They can grow together and benefit the Mammoth down the stretch.
And now a few more just quick-fire trades. We have Carlson to the Ducks, John Carlson to the Ducks. I love this trade for the Ducks. Carlson brings playoff experience, championship pedigree to a young Ducks team who are looking to make it into the playoffs for the first time in a while, and they only had to give up a couple of picks. Now we have Falk to the Red Wings. I like bringing in Falk. He's a pretty solid player, both defensively, but also with a bit of offensive upside. I don't love what they gave up to bring him in. That's 2 picks, including a first, and also a prospect. But at least they got rid of Justin Hall, who, speaking as a Leafs fan, is a liability on your team. Then we have Braden Schenn to the Islanders. So he's a solid player, especially for a team who's holding on to that third spot in the Metro right now. They have that system that can get you deep into the playoffs, and Braden Schenn is just one of those guys that can push you even deeper there. You had to give up a first here, Drouin, and a prospect. But hopefully, maybe Drouin finds his game. He showed glimpses of great play during his time in Colorado a few years back. And also, we've got Garland to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, for this one, it is a bit of a weird trade, in my opinion. The Blue Jackets aren't necessarily a threat for the playoffs. And even if they made it to the playoffs, they're probably not making it deep. At least they only gave up a second and a third, so it's not too much to give up, but I just don't really think that Garland fits the timeline in Columbus. And then finally, the last trade that I just want to touch on is Bobby McMahon to Seattle for a 2027 second round pick and a 2026 fourth round pick. Another disappointing return for Toronto, and Bobby McMahon, personally, I love Bobby McMahon. I think he was a fan favorite, and he's been playing great for Seattle recently, and he's a big body, 6'2", 217 pounds, great power forward there. And just a quick Leaf stat, because I love complaining about the Leafs, so you might have to press the button, but I'm looking at all the players that the Leafs traded away at this deadline. We have Scott Laine, who has 3 points in 6 games. He scored in his LA debut. Nick Waugh, 2 points in 7 games while playing bottom 6 minutes, but he scored in his Colorado debut. Then we have Bobby McMahon in 3 games with Seattle. He has 4 goals and 6 points, and he also scored in his debut with Seattle. So I'm looking at all these stats, and I'm like, they're scoring immediately after leaving Toronto. So are the Leafs the problem? Is the media here just too much? Are the fans just not enough? You know, you have to think these players are enjoying pretty good success in their new spots. I'm happy for them, but I'm not exactly happy for the Leafs.
Now we're going to move on to our next segment. Returning is the clutch play of the week. So in deciding this segment's winner, I decided to look across the last 2 weeks, particularly in the Atlantic Division, which we'll touch on later. Had to find a game or a play with a goal that had something significant for the standings, for the player, for the trend of the game. And that ended up being just last night. I'm choosing Cole Caulfield's OT winner, scoring his 40th goal on the season, a new career high, yesterday being March 17th at the time of recording, to beat the Boston Bruins 3-2, as I mentioned, in overtime. He had one goal and one assist in the game. He ended up being the first star of the game. He got an assist from Suzuki and Hudson. What a surprise. There were 22 seconds left in overtime. It was a back and forth overtime period. Pavel Zacha had both of the Bruins' goals when it was a 2-2 game, and then he got a breakaway in overtime, but missed, and it looked like Dobesh's stick might have caught a piece of it. That would have been his hat trick to walk it off in Montreal. What a moment that would have been for him. But with 30 seconds left, the Habs had the puck back in the Bruins' zone. Hudson double-faked Pasternak, drove him into the defender, carried him up the ice, and he passed back to a circling Nick Suzuki back at the blue line. He angled the pass straight to the bottom left straight from the bottom left circle and played it on the ice, tape to tape, to Cole Caulfield, waiting to redirect it in on the back door. It's not going to be a highlight reel goal for Cole Caulfield in terms of the skill that it took to score it, but obviously being his 40th goal, you'll be seeing that for a long time, which makes him the first Habs player to reach the 40-goal mark in a single season since Vincent Dampoose in 93-94. Now, the game ended with shots on goal being 31-28 for the Canadiens, and the rivals now split the season series 2 games apiece, so what a clutch time for him to score once again. The Canadiens only had one power play in the game as well, so they had limited opportunities, and Jeremy Swayman stood on his head. They trailed 1-0 and then 2-1. Anderson got the tip in to tie the game at 2-2, and then obviously Caulfield's heroics came in overtime. But man, does this help Montreal in the standings. The Habs are now in third place still in the Atlantic Division, but 2 points clear of the Boston Bruins with a game in hand. Yesterday, the Bruins could have passed the Canadiens with a win in regulation. It's a huge momentum boost for the Habs. They've got a big game tomorrow night, Thursday, in Detroit, and they obviously get to snap their ugly California homestand losing streak with the Sharks and the Ducks. So Cole Caulfield is our winner of the Clutch Play of the Week. There's plenty of exciting hockey ahead, especially in the Atlantic Division, with under a month at this point left in the season. They end around mid-April. It's really coming down to it. The trade deadline is past. The new players are on their new teams. They're just trying to fit in and push their teams towards the playoffs. So that'll do it for the third episode of the Too Many Men podcast. Next week, we might have to do some counseling for a resident Leafs fan here. There's a lot of complaints today, and it doesn't seem to be going well, except after Matthews got injured, they decided to win a couple games. So there's lots to cover there. We'll see you next week.